I'm getting my card. Number five, U.S. versus Timothy Owens, Mr. Rosen.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Mark Rosen appears on behalf of the appellant, Timothy Owens. I'm here basically to argue that this Court should establish a policy and state that basically all three points for the adjustment of acceptance of responsibility are not lumped together and therefore find in agreement with the First Circuit and the Ninth Circuit, as I've argued in my briefs. I think by basically following the Seventh Circuit, what I believe to be an established policy of saying you start the trial, you don't get anything, basically removes any impetus for the defendant to basically save, as in this case Mr. Owens did, save multiple days of trial, waive objections, and take acceptance of responsibility. As indicated in this case, he clearly accepted responsibility for the first count, which was the governing count. He accepted that, and his pre-sentence writer indicated, and that was the count that laid out the 26 points, which then the 2 points for the adjustment upward because of the weapon led to the 28 points. He never wavered on that. He told the judge when he later on down the road when he tried to withdraw the plea for the second count, I wanted to go to trial on the first count. I wanted to do this. But Judge McCuskey said, I'm not giving you anything. And I think that the First and Ninth Circuits hit it more on the head by saying, we're going to give you, in basically situations which are factually almost identical to the one here, where these pleas were taken after the jury had been selected, we will give you the 2 points and not give you the 1 point, because in both of those cases, that was a situation where the defendant had argued to the Court of Appeals for the respective circuits that I should get the 3rd point. And I think that the court...
Well, did Judge McCuskey say anything that we could understand him to be saying he wasn't authorized to give the 2 points?
I don't remember him saying that he wasn't authorized to give the 2 points. I just remember the defendant arguing for the acceptance of responsibility, saying I saved a trial, that sort of thing, waived the objections, and Judge McCuskey saying, you know, we had 40 jurors here, we've done this. You're not getting anything.
Yeah, it came a little later than you suggest, I think. The jury got picked. A suppression motion that was under advisement got ruled on. The defendant wanted to represent himself. Judge McCuskey said, well, I'll think about that overnight, come back the next day. And only the next day, after witnesses would have been there, the jurors are back, did he say, I want to plead guilty.
That's correct.
So that's a little further in the process than just selecting a jury.
Suppression motions happen. Motions to go pro se happen.
Well, the inevitability of the result was much clearer at that point. And so isn't that something Judge McCuskey could consider in evaluating whether there was a true acceptance of responsibility?
I think my recollection was the case was that he basically looked at it like we've got 40 jurors picked. We saved this. We went through all this time. I'm not giving you anything. And he basically, that's my recollection of the case, looking at the issues, because as it will always happen in every case, clients want to go pro se, they have a suppression motion, but then you plead, and you still get your acceptance responsibility points. So I think that even though that happened, I think the determining fact in Judge McCuskey's logic was we had this jury selection, you're doing it, now I'm not giving you anything. And I think the First Circuit and the Ninth Circuit in those cases I've cited basically said, you're getting the 2 points. And the issue was, as the First Circuit said in Ortiz-Torres, the first 2 points are for contrition and remorse, and the 3rd point, as indicated in the guidelines, is for the timeliness. And I think that the 3EG, the except the
Well, there is some timeliness aspect to the first 2 points, too, isn't there, within the guidelines and the commentary?
I think there would be, too. But I think the fact is that in this situation, I think that Mr. Owens saved multiple days of trial. He saved, he withdrew all of his objections except for the one on the acceptance of responsibility. And I think that's the same issue that you could argue with respect to Chi and Ortiz-Torres, is that they basically also at the same point in time saved all that time for trial, saved all that time for, I don't know if they had any objections in that, those two cases, but they saved a lot of time for trial. And also under 3EG, you can still get acceptance of responsibility points for the application notes, even if you go to trial and if you get convicted. You can still get it, even if you've done a trial and gotten convicted. So I think that we need to sit there and analyze the fact that you've saved all this time for trial. You've accepted responsibility for count one. You said, I was always going to go to trial on count one. I was never going to go to trial on count one. I've accepted responsibility for count one. I'm sorry about count one. You saved all that time for trial, withdrawn the objections, and you don't get anything. So what's the impetus? What is the motivation for a defendant to come forth and say, I'll save all this time for trial if you're not going to get anything? And that's why I think the First and Ninth Circuits hit it right, that you've got to give something if you're going to do this. Because the first point, the first two points are more for, as I've indicated, the contrition and remorse, which he accepted as far as I was a drug dealer. It's a question of the count two, which was the firearm, that he was basically more haggling about and more fervent about.
So this court has upheld in a lot of cases, the Sierra case, the Boyle case, the Wallace case, the Banks case, the Ewing case, that these last-minute pleas, denial of the 2 points of acceptance of responsibility with these last-minute pleas, is there something that makes this case different?
I'm just saying that what makes this case, I think the court should revisit that policy. I think the court should revisit that policy because I don't think, given what happened, and this is a perfect example of why that policy should be revisited, because of the fact of the matter is it's not in line with other circuits. It doesn't make sense, because the fact of the matter is you don't give anybody credit for doing it, changing a mind and saving multiple days of jury trial, saving objections. If the court's going to stick with that policy, which I think needs to be revisited, just go to trial. I'm not going to plead after the first day of jury selection. They're not going to give me anything. Let's just have a 3-week jury trial, because I'm getting zero. And it also ignores, the current policy ignores that there are 2 points, one specific guideline for 2 points, and a second specific guideline for the very third point. And I think that when you look at the logic of the First and Ninth Circuits, you basically look at that as being, with all due reference to the court, respect for the court, as being more appropriate, because you're rewarding somebody. I know you're not getting the third point, so you're getting punished for getting the third point, for not getting the third point, but we're still going to give you something for saving all this time of trial, for coming forth, for saying you're sorry, for accepting the responsibility, because he always did it for count one. It's just the bollock stuff with the count two, which basically was the issue. And, you know, you're withdrawing your objections, you're doing all this stuff, so why shouldn't he get something?
And I think you would just like us to have a rule that says you plead guilty, even though it's at the last minute, you should automatically get your 2 points for acceptance. The only thing that it's clear you wouldn't get would be that third point, because the third point under acceptance.
Well,
so you're just saying you would automatically get it. I mean, that's essentially, because you would not want to have the discretion of the district court to determine whether you had the 2 points. I'm talking just on this point, on the timeliness. Now, there might be other reasons that come out in the PS, the pre-sentence report, that suggest that somebody hasn't accepted responsibility. But just on this kind of scenario, you're saying that's the rule you'd like to see.
I think.
And you'd like that imposed by every judge. If it's a last-minute deal, you should get your 2 points, and we'd be more in line with the first and the ninth.
I think, based upon the fact that you've done it before any testimony has been taken, you've saved all this time for trial, you've withdrawn your objections. I'm looking at this basically in a fact situation where they did it before any testimony, anything of that nature, after the jury selection. I'm saving time for rebuttal, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Cox.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Richard Cox on behalf of the United States. If I hear counsel's argument correctly, essentially he's asking this court to rewrite the sentencing guidelines and to change the language that says you don't automatically get acceptance of responsibility if you plead guilty, no matter when you plead guilty. And that's clearly not what the sentencing guidelines provide, and that's essentially what Mr. Rosen is asking this court to do. He's also asking this court to ignore the commentary to the sentencing guidelines, which makes it very clear that timeliness is an aspect both of the 2-point consideration initially and also the 3-point consideration. The 3-point in this case was never at issue. I mean, no one even argued that Mr. Owens was entitled to the third point. In the cases that he relies on from the Ninth and the First Circuits, of course, there was apparently no contest with regard to whether the defendants should, in those cases, get the two-point reduction. It was only as to the third point, and obviously timeliness is a factor in that, too. So to hold that timeliness, or to say that timeliness is not an appropriate consideration in a decision with regard to acceptance of the two-point acceptance of responsibility reduction, I think is also asking the court to revisit what the sentencing guidelines have already told us. And I think the other thing that's striking to me is in this case, in Mr. Owens' case, we would be, if you buy Mr. Rosen's argument, we would be rewarding him for pleading guilty to count one, where he then says later, I didn't mean to plead guilty to count two. So essentially, I lied under oath to you, Judge, when I admitted that I was guilty of this offense. And to say automatically he should get acceptance of responsibility because he admitted to one count where he lied under oath, or at least misled the court with regard to his culpability on one of the counts that is used to arrive at his offense level, it would seem to me is certainly not appropriate. So unless this court has any questions, I would ask you to affirm. Judge McCuskey exercised his discretion here, and there certainly he did not clearly err in determining that Mr. Owens' last-minute guilty plea did not demonstrate acceptance of responsibility.
Just one quick question.
Yes, sir.
Did Judge McCuskey say anything from which it could be inferred that he didn't feel he was authorized to give acceptance of responsibility?
I don't think so at all, Your Honor. I think, in fact, he acknowledged one of the the government asked for a mid-range sentence of 156 months, and he imposed a 140-month sentence, which is what Mr. Owens' trial counsel asked for. And Mr. Owens' trial counsel asked the court to go below the government's recommendation. One of the considerations he asked was he did plead guilty to the one count. He pled guilty to both counts, but he saved the court a trial. He withdrew some objections, and he saved the court time at sentencing. So he specifically asked the court to consider that. Judge McCuskey didn't say, that's one of the reasons I'm giving you 140 months, but I think that the record was clear. He understood he could give him the 2 points if he determined that, in fact, he had accepted responsibility.
Thank you.
No other questions. Thank you, Mr. Cox.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And how much time?
A few points. I'm not asking this court to change the sentencing guidelines. I'm just asking it to get more in line with the First and the Ninth Circuits. I'm not trying to revisit any law here. The fact of the matter is I'm not looking for a blanket rule. I'm looking to try to defend Mr. Owens to get him his 2 points, because the fact of the matter is he came forth early enough to basically save two and a half days' worth of trial, which clearly goes to the timeliness, goes to the issue of withdrawing the objections, and goes to what was going on in terms of what he was able to do in terms of the acceptance responsibility. In the First and Ninth Circuits,
you just want us to ignore the commentary from the guidelines and the fact that the judge can't take this into account.
Well, I think the judge in the First and Ninth Circuits took it into account by denying the third point. And I think the courts here can.
So you don't see a difference between the third point and the first 2 points?
I see a difference. I see a big difference. I think the First Circuit in Ortiz-Torres basically said the first 2 points are for contrition and remorse, and the third point is for timeliness. And maybe you can throw that in there for the first 2 points being somewhat early enough. But the fact of the matter is he saved multiple days of trial. He saved the withdrawal objection. So there is a timeliness issue that comes into Mr. Owens' benefit to get him those 2 points and to get him those points. So that's what I'm looking at in terms of – I'm not trying to make – I'm just trying to get to see more in line with the First and Ninth Circuit.
All right. We understand your argument. We thank you for your argument. Both counsel, very good briefs, good arguments. And you were appointed, weren't you, Mr. Rosen?
Yes, sir.
We thank you so much for taking this assignment on. Court couldn't function without lawyers like you that are willing to do this. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well.